COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
No, I'm saying, like, so much going on in the world.
I will be okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Today is a better day than yesterday.
Yeah. There was an assassination this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the repercussion was death threats for Black students all over the country.
Especially at HBCUs.
Especially at HBCUs. They found the
shooter.
My
alma mater and my campus where my child is included.
Yeah. So what are your... Yeah. So that's why I'm asking if you're okay. Like, when your kid is away for college as a freshman, and within literally the first month of school, the campus is not quite on lockdown, but classes are canceled, and safety and security are threatened, that's got to get mom's heartbeat up a little bit.
Mom's was on something else yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it was already a somber day because of the 24th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, people feel differently about what occurred, but I have so much, and I'm not saying this to sound noble, I have so much humanity in me.
Yeah.
I always think about a victim's family.
Yeah.
Or if someone dies violently that no one should see, that's hard, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yes.
I wasn't really focused on that.
Yeah. You're worried about your kid at that point.
I'm worried about my kid who is saying all the things, FaceTiming me. I'm looking at her. We're seeming like we're good.
Yeah.
But the amount of times, the amount of time that I spent on the phone with my child yesterday lets me know that she was probably more unsettled than she even was able to admit to herself.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah. No.
You stay on the phone until they're ready to go.
For me, this week was the very first time I said to myself, I'm glad my kid is not in the States. Like, I've been...
Yeah.
Heartbroken that he's overseas, but we've got a lot of mass shootings. Like, we had a mass shooting
on the same day of the
murder. Yeah, the kids at NYU,
which didn't get
that's not even newsworthy.
Much.
Like, imagine this is the world we're living in. A mass shooting at a school happens.
Well, sorry, technically it wasn't a mass shooting because four or more individuals have to be wounded in order for it to be considered a mass shooting.
Yeah.
So there was a school shooting.
Technicality.
And I understand two people were wounded. It also happened in Colorado.
Yeah.
Where there, I mean, one of the more infamous school shootings that happened, Columbine.
Yeah.
But no one's talking about gun violence like that.
Yeah. But the fact that we've got to equivocate this way and say, technically, it's a school shooting, not a mass shooting.
Exactly.
Like, yo, if you're the one impacted, then it's like the end of the world is what it is. The Black students...
They done messed around and found out.
Yeah, the Black students at NYU were threatened. And the school didn't even send out an announcement saying that the Black students were threatened. They sent out an announcement saying that there was racial threats. Like... These are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and someone on TikTok, a Black, young Black woman, she posted the actual threat.
Mm-hmm.
It was riddled with the N-word.
Mm.
We are going to do blankety blank to these N-words.
Mm.
Like, And then the warning, is that a racial threat?
Yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to protect yourself if you don't even know
what the threat is?
You see what I'm saying?
Who the threat is against. It is literally exhausting.
Yeah.
And I had a migraine yesterday, and this is not about me, but I mean, in a way it is, because we're talking about us, ourselves. I didn't eat until dinner time. Mm. I mean, might also why I had a migraine.
Yeah.
I had to cancel some meetings because I just couldn't pull it together. I'm like, you know what? I have a family emergency.
Yeah.
I will try to answer your questions and we can
reschedule
for one day next week.
And of course, we have to say nobody should ever be murdered for their views,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much those views might hurt you.
Mm.
And a lot of what Charlie Kirk, may he rest in peace, has said, it hurts a lot of people. It hurt me to go back. Like, I didn't really know a lot about the guy. And I tried to take a balanced view of looking at the things that he said. And I watched a bunch of videos and read a bunch of things. And like,
I couldn't do it anymore. I tapped out at like,
three
or four.
Yeah, because what's funny is like, it's such a visceral reaction in my social media community. You have so many people devastated that, of course, you should be devastated if a man is killed that has kids and a wife.
Mm-hmm. And if you saw the video, I did not watch the video.
Someone sent it to me. I didn't even know what it was. I clicked it. I'm like, and why would you send me this?
It just.
Yeah.
I will agree to the governor of Utah and saying we are not designed to witness that and be okay.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, it's just
on
like.
On the other hand.
Yeah.
I saw the press conference where they had apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
The suspect. And while I wanted to hear what I thought was going to be a balanced view of the situation,
mm-hmm.
I heard confirmation of why people don't get it.
What they said? I didn't even see the press conference.
Well, particularly at the end of the press conference, the governor of Utah took his license, because this all occurred in his state.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these things were so riveting that I rewound it and recorded it, because I didn't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
If I decided to share it or cite it. And he was talking about how after it happened and they were, searching for the suspect, he said his prayers were that he hoped it wasn't one of us. These are his words.
Sorry, what does that mean, one of us? Okay.
A resident of Utah. He went on to say, I had hoped it was someone who had driven here from out of state, or maybe someone from another country.
Or somebody black.
He didn't say that.
Yeah.
He said, but my prayers weren't answered in that way. It was one of us. And I'm thinking to myself,
what difference does that make?
Well, he even said it. He said, because that would have been easier. And I'm thinking to myself,
what?
You don't even hear yourself.
What are you talking about?
Because that means it felt to me like he only had the capacity for empathy because it was one of them. To me, it was the most hypocritical comment without knowing that you're making a hypocritical comment.
Yeah. What I saw,
it just got worse.
Yeah. I want to hear how it got worse. But what I saw after the shooting was,
when we're done with this, I literally have the video live commentary. And some other people are posting it, but
yeah. Well, I mean, play it. So, I mean, like,
say it with your full chest.
For 33 hours I was praying that if this had to happen here, that it wouldn't be one of us. That somebody drove from another state, somebody came from another country. Sadly, that prayer was not answered the way I hoped for. Just because I thought it would make it easier on us if we could just say, hey, we don't do that here.
What I saw across the board was either, there's a bunch of folks that I think have taken a portion of Mr. Kirk's rhetoric or lessons or vantage points, the Christian ones, and saying that that's all he was about, and like yo, let's take him for everything. You know what I'm saying? Take the whole man. You know what I mean? And I saw a lot of folks who were like, hey, this is the liberal Democrats. They've got to be stopped. We got to kill them. This is war. And like, then the shooter is a Republican white guy.
Do we know that he's a Republican?
He's a registered Republican.
Okay. I hadn't heard that.
From the state of Utah.
Yep.
Father's a policeman and, you know, active policeman. They call him first responders.
You know more than I do, and I watched the press conference.
I've been obsessed with this thing.
I had to shut it out.
So what I'm saying is
to
like,
function.
It's almost like we need the person to be someone that I hate in order for this to make sense.
Yes.
And that's what you heard in that prayer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so
yeah. Like, we can't acknowledge that we have domestic terrorism problems.
Yeah.
We have problems. We have more guns than people in this country.
Yeah, we talked about that. Didn't we talk about that?
We just talked about that.
On our last episode? Yeah.
Why people are leaving the country.
Yes. Yep.
We have way more guns than people. Mm-hmm. We have 3 times more guns per capita than the next closest country, which happens to be Canada, which borders us. And they probably have a lot of guns because we have a lot of guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And the other, I don't want to call it poetic justice, but the other irony here is the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, is known to have been a close friend of Charlie Kirk's. And when you think about the unjustified firings of certain people within the FBI and other government agencies, and the replacement with others who aligned with
the president's
ideologies.
And who also aren't that qualified. You can say that.
And also aren't that qualified. Yeah. I didn't even get to that. And then twice before they apprehended who we believe is the actual shooter, they came out and said, we have someone in custody. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up releasing that person because they were not, in fact, the shooter. Yeah. And I'm just like, is your own incompetence leading to having it taken longer to identify the real shooter?
You know, this like, guy turned himself in, right?
I do know that
they didn't really catch him.
Right.
Like, but go on.
Right. Like a family member, you are correct. But I'm thinking to myself, so besides the fact that, you know, doctors don't operate on their own family members, should the FBI director be directly involved in this investigation? But whatever. Yeah. But aside from that, isn't it sort of public relations 101 that you don't announce that you have a suspect in custody unless you know that's it, that they're the person? So it just made me untrusting of anything. And then it turns out that the president announced this morning that they hadn't. So I'm just like, okay. So now he's like, yeah, I'm going to be the one to share this news.
Yeah.
And then my daughter's campus, we hear from the FBI that it was a hoax. And I'm like, should I believe that? Yeah. Or are we being dismissive because it's just another one of those HBCUs? Yeah. Like,
you really
don't
know.
Do you know what I mean?
When there's a threat, like, what if it's not a hoax? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So, yeah.
It's just a lot. It's exhausting. I just can't right now.
All I'm going to say is this, like, I do pray that Mr. Kirk's family will be okay eventually. I also pray that the people who were hurt by Mr. Kirk will be all right eventually. When I say his words, I'm not saying, you know.
Yeah.
Because I watch these things and I'm like, I know the man's no longer here, but I was hurt by a lot of it. The comments on MLK, comments on George Floyd. The
comments on black women.
Ketanji Brown. You know, like. It hurts like to hear these things. Mm-hmm. I hope that there will be some healing, but I also hope that like the temperature gets turned down and not up.
So
like, it just seems like things are turning up.
The governor of Utah at one time I thought was on the right track or getting back on track because he talked about this being a defining moment. And is it the end of a dark period, or is it the beginning of a darker period to come?
Yeah.
But he also ended that with, you know, we get to choose. And I'm like, some of us get to choose, some of us don't.
Yeah.
Because this has been inflicted on us for so long.
Yeah.
That.
But the crazy thing is just, I'm going to give you the counterpoint. Because I've been in these Republican right wing chats. I've been deep in them.
Yeah.
They're pulling out old Obama quotes and saying this is Obama's fault.
Like, yeah, I saw something about a comment about deportation. I saw a comment about that Bill Clinton, remarks that he had made in front of Congress, and they were like, he made a standing ovation. It's like, this is not the same thing.
Like, bruh.
Saying that you are supportive of deporting people who are undocumented and having a process to do that is one thing.
Yeah.
Rounding people up based on their skin color from their place of work without due process is not the same as what other leaders have said.
Yeah.
It's just not the same thing. So let's not make it the same thing. Words do matter.
Yeah. They absolutely do. And something that was said, you know, got this young 22-year-old really upset. Like, he was that week, like, he was debating with his friends and just saying how much he hated the guy. Mm. I don't know what they were talking about specifically, but like,
it'll all come out
inside their party. Like, you know, his Mr. Kirk's whole thing was to debate, but in a way that would embarrass people. And you know what I mean? And it was flipping and it was disrespectful. And like, yo, I'm not saying he deserved to die, by the way, but I'm saying like, yo,
that he deserved to die violently.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. It's just a terrible thing. And I just hope this is the last of these things. I hope it's the last. Like,
I want to be hopeful, but it's hard for me to be hopeful. And I'm one of the most optimistic people that exist. But he didn't like that word. He's on record as saying he doesn't like the word optimism and he doesn't like the word empathy.
Empathy. Yeah. And, you know, that the Second Amendment is worth people dying from time to time. You know?
Except when it's you.
Yeah. Nobody expects it's going to be you.
Or except when it's one of us.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Or depending on how. Yeah, if it's one of us, like, yeah, that's just what they get, I guess. You know, not that he said that, but I mean, that's the feeling that it implies.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are you talking about gang violence? Are we talking about? Well, whatever. You know, I just hope that it gets turned down, man. But the thing that will turn it down, we need less guns. That's what we need less of. We need less guns. We need more gun control.
The thing is, ain't nobody talking about
that. Let me just tell you this. I was just in South Carolina and I was with my family at my family reunion, which I want to talk about at some point. Because I came back from this family reunion so upset.
Upset?
Like, happy that I found my great-grandparents' gravesite.
Mm-hmm.
Upset at the circumstances that my great-grandparents had to endure, that my grandparents had to endure, that my mom had to endure, that my cousins who were still there are having to endure.
I see.
Our Black people in this country really endured a lot, and it's gotten minimized and completely rewritten, and it's being rewritten right now. And it's just, like, I heard, like, one conversation about reparations, and it's like they've had 100+ years to build wealth, to improve their situation. Why should we pay them reparations? In fact, many Black folks can't even tie their lineage back to slavery. All right, I just was at my family reunion and Prosperity, South Carolina.
Because you took that away from us. That's why we can't do that. Right. But I'm sorry. You're on a roll. Prosperity, South Carolina. This is the irony.
So I never knew this side of my family. I know my dad's family history, which I've told the story of a bunch. But this is what I found in Prosperity, South Carolina. And it's just it's so ironic that it's called Prosperity.
Yes.
But my great-grandfather built his home across the street from the plantation where the people owned them, right? I'm guessing they had some sort of arrangement. You keep working for me, I'll give you space for a home and eventually you'll get a living wage. I don't know, but my great grandfather built a home across the street from the plantation that owned his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that family still lives there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the slave owners.
Sure,
Okay.
They're descendants.
So the slaveholder family across the street from where the former slaves are,
mm-hmm.
my great-grandfather, all 11 of my grandmother's siblings, they were all born in that house except for the youngest two. One day that slave owner decided he wanted to be with my grandmother, my great-grandmother. And he approached my great-grandmother. She said no. He approached my great-grandfather. He said no. So he said, I'll know what to do. I'll kill him. So this slave owner family member takes my great-grandfather out hunting and shoots him in the face. He shoots my grandfather's his jaw clean off, the bottom, 75% of the bottom of his jaw gone. My great-grandfather lived.
Jesus.
He went the rest of his life wearing a bandana to keep the spit from falling down all over everything. He was constantly covered in spit. How do you have an opportunity to build wealth
mm-hmm.
with half a jaw?
Mm-hmm.
With your children at best having a 10th grade education because that's how high the school went.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think you could go apply for a job at
anywhere.
J.P. Morgan?
Right.
Half a jaw?
Mm-hmm.
In the Jim Crow South? Like, we've had a horrible experience as Black people in this country. We couldn't buy homes when everybody else could buy homes. When we did, we couldn't get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get certain jobs. Like, to just act like we should have just figured it out.
It's the whole pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And it's like, I don't have boots. You took my boots.
Yeah.
All I have is a bootstrap. It's not attached to anything because you took it away from me.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't let me have it.
So it's like, look, you might not be responsible for the slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly are responsible for like fixing or addressing some of the remnants.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you bought a building that has no elevator and then you get a bunch of tenants in wheelchairs. Like, it ain't your fault that there was no elevator, but like, yo, you do have a responsibility as the mm-hmm. owner of that building
mm-hmm.
to fix it
yep.
for your inhabitants, mm-hmm. right? That's all we're saying. Like, yo, we know you didn't do the slavery and we can accept that maybe you're not racist, but at the same time, to act like everything is cool.
Right.
It just ain't the case.
It's not.
To act like literally like George Floyd's murderer shouldn't be in trouble because he was following the handbook.
Right.
Like
George Floyd had children.
Yeah.
Where were the thoughts and prayers for his children?
Yeah. So I know this week we didn't talk about financial topics like we normally do. We actually had a whole like 12-page like plan of what we were going to talk about. But this is one of those times where it's just different. You know, we're human. I know we're financial advisors, but we are also people.
Yeah, we are. And as we close, we are looking at a headline regarding Lisa Cook,
yeah.
the Federal Reserve governor that...
Who's a black woman.
Who is a black woman. Azor.
Yeah.
Who was fired by President Trump and she's fighting back to say, you can't fire me.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? When I saw that they were going after a Fed governor saying that years ago she lied on a mortgage application.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, literally the first two things I went to is A, they're trying to get rid of Fed governors so they can replace it, the person with people who will vote to lower rates faster. And
yep.
two, I was like, they're probably black.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right on both.
Yep.
And they're trying to
appoint. Well, we knew she was female.
Yeah. And he's trying to appoint White House staffers who will actually work in the White House and work as a Fed governor,
right?
Which is a huge conflict because, like, the way our stuff is designed, we're not supposed to have any executive branch influence on our monetary policy. Like, yeah.
Right. And of all the things, we gonna try to cry about mortgage fraud?
But that's what
when
they
do. We actually have been convicted.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Like yeah, how
he's
like,
done a lot. Yeah.
The balls. Our president has done Excuse my language.
Our president has done a lot of bank fraud.
I mean, like
that's
I'm
hilarious.
Sorry.
Yeah. But you know that's how they went after
Exhausted.
Our girl in Baltimore.
Yes.
Same
yeah,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, let's see what kind of dirt we could find on this person.
Right.
Yeah. Not to say that, like, I don't know the whether she was in the wrong. Like, I just know that, like, I bet you that there's some other folks with some dirt, but we don't need it right now to come to the surface. Plus, they have a different political affiliation, so we're going to let them fly for a little bit.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
Again, it's January 6th, rioters
yeah.
versus peaceful protesters. Like, mm-hmm. we it's, don't evaluate the same because we don't see each other the same.
Good people on both sides when it's a yep. Charlottesville Tiki Torch yep. mob.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But we pray for healing.
I will still pray for healing.
We pray for healing. Because
everybody
we
needs
are.
To be healed.
Yeah, we do. So thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with us.
Yeah, I think we're going to get some comments about this.
Yeah.
One way or the other. Some people may be like, you know, thanks for being your authentic selves. Others may be like, I didn't sign up for this. Where's the financial stuff?
Yeah, no, we actually have a bomb financial show for next week.
Great.
I guess I shouldn't say bomb. Just a good show.
We have a great topic ahead, which I have not explored.
Yeah. So keep listening.
I will. I have time.
And we'll be back really soon.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.